Welcome in, everyone. I'm so glad you were here with us today because we have a truly massive stack of information to get through.
We really do.
Yeah, today we are taking a deep dive into the March 11th, 2026 edition of the Atomic News Tech and AI Daily Newsletter. And I'm speaking directly to you right now, whether you're a developer, a tech enthusiast, or just someone who uses the internet to buy
Right,
groceries.
which is everyone.
Exactly, because the ground is fundamentally shifting right beneath our feet. Our mission for this deep dive is to explore a paradigm shift that is happening as we speak. We're moving away from artificial intelligence as just a simple tool that we talk to, and we are hurtling toward a reality where AI is an autonomous agent that acts for us. And as you're going to hear today, there are some massive legal, ethical, and practical friction coming along with that shift.
That friction really is the defining theme of this entire stack of sources. I mean, when you look at the landscape right now, you can actually see the exact moment that the unstoppable force of AI innovation is colliding with the immovable object of real-world infrastructure and law. We are transitioning from the theoretical sandbox into the extremely messy reality of the daily web, and that collision is generating a lot of heat.
Okay, let's unpack this. Starting with what feels like a landmark moment in e-commerce. There has been a major federal court ruling involving Amazon and the AI search company Perplexity.
Right, the Comet browser ruling.
Yeah, a federal judge has just temporarily blocked Perplexity's Comet browser from accessing Amazon to shop on behalf of users. Now, looking at this initially, Perplexity's argument makes a lot of intuitive sense to me.
Sure.
They essentially said, look, the users explicitly granted our AI agent permission to go do this shopping for them. It's their account, their money. It's no different from a human using an automated browser extension to find coupon codes.
That was their angle, yeah.
But the judge completely disagreed and sided with Amazon, ruling that this was a violation of the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, the CFAA. Why is an AI shopping for me legally different than me using a macro or an extension?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it really comes down to authorization and the sheer scale of autonomous access. Under the CFAA, accessing password-protected sections of a site in a way that violates the platform's terms of service.
Which Amazon's definitely due for bots.
Exactly. That can be construed as unauthorized access. Amazon argued that Perplexity wasn't just a passive tool. It was an autonomous bot scraping and interacting with secure infrastructure at scale. And the implications of this ruling are just staggering.
How so?
Well, we've been sold this vision for the past couple of years, right? This utopian idea that you can just tell your AI, hey, go buy me the best coffee maker under $50, compare all the reviews, and use my Prime account.
And it'll just go handle your errands.
Right. But if existing platforms have the legal right to just block AI agents at the door using the CFAA as a shield, that entire dream is fundamentally broken. It means the vision of seamless, agent-driven commerce just cannot survive on the internet as it currently exists.
Which means the AI is going to need its own infrastructure.
Exactly.
And that brings us to something that sounds straight out of a sci-fi novel. Meta just acquired a company called Moltbook, and the founders are actually joining Meta's superintelligence labs.
This is a huge move.
It really is. Moltbook is essentially a Reddit-style forum, but it is exclusively for AI agents to post and interact, not humans. But why build a completely separate network? Why wouldn't Meta just integrate these agents into Facebook or Instagram and let them mingle with us?
Because of exactly what Amazon just proved in court, human platforms are heavily fortified to keep bots out.
Right.
They rely on CAPTCHAs, rate limits, behavioral analysis to block automated traffic. If AI agents are going to negotiate with each other, share data, coordinate tasks, they cannot do it on an internet designed for human eyeballs and human click speeds.
They just get flagged immediately.
Yep. They need a first-class social infrastructure designed specifically for machine-to-machine communication. Meta is placing a massive financial bet that the future web is going to be bifurcated.
And while big tech is fighting in the courts and buying up networks, the open source community is apparently not waiting around. The Atomic News newsletter highlights an explosion in open source agent tools. But I want to get past just the raw growth numbers here.
Sure, let's look at the actual tools.
Right. For instance, ByteDance has a tool called DeerFlow that is gaining thousands of stars on GitHub a day. It's described as a super agent harness for researching and coding. What exactly does a harness do in this context?
Think of a harness as the scaffolding that allows an AI to do complex, multi-step work over a long period of time. A standard language model just answers a prompt and stops.
Right, one and done.
But a super agent harness like Deerflow gives the AI a framework to say, okay, my goal is to build this software. Step one, I need to search the web for documentation. Step two, I write a script. Step three, I test it, see the error, and rewrite it.
So it's managing its own workflow.
Exactly. It allows the AI to autonomously string together tools to solve macro problems without you holding its hand.
That makes total sense. And then you have Alibaba's Page Agent, which is a JavaScript in-page GUI agent. From what I gather, it can actually comprehend and navigate web interfaces using natural language.
Yeah, that one is fascinating.
So instead of needing an API, it can, quote unquote, see a website like a human does and click the button.
Exactly. It maps the visual interface of a website into something the AI can interact with directly. Mm. And perhaps the most crucial piece of this open source puzzle is Volsungine's Open Viking.
The context database.
Right. The community is flocking to this because it solves the amnesia problem. Open Viking is a context database specifically designed for AI agents to manage their memories and skills through a file system paradigm.
Because normally when you start a new chat with an AI, it forgets everything you talked about yesterday.
Precisely. Open Viking treats the AI's memory more like a computer's hard drive. The agent can save a learned skill or a piece of context to a specific file and retrieve it days or weeks later.
Wow.
When you combine a super agent harness, a GUI navigator, and a persistent memory file system, you have all the ingredients for a fully autonomous digital worker. In fact, there's a highly upvoted post from the Claude Code Camp on Hacker News right now, entirely dedicated to building these autonomous agents that just run on servers overnight.
I want you, listening right now, to just imagine that scenario. You go to sleep, and while you are dreaming, your AI agent is wide awake, armed with its own memory drive and web navigation tools, successfully negotiating a car purchase for you or optimizing your stock portfolio. Or you wake up to find that your incredibly sophisticated, highly complex digital worker got stopped dead in its tracks by a simple picture-matching CAPTCHA asking it to identify a traffic light.
It's a very real possibility.
That is the bizarre friction we are dealing with today.
And that friction isn't just happening at the e-commerce checkout line. As these AI models become more capable of autonomous action, the companies building them are increasingly clashing with the entities that want to use them, most notably the federal government.
Yes, and this is a fascinating story purely from a mechanical and legal standpoint. The Pentagon has officially designated the AI company Anthropic as a, quote, supply chain risk, unquote.
A huge escalation.
Absolutely. The reason for this designation is that Anthropic refused to lift its restrictions on military use for its Claude AI model. Because of this supply chain risk label, federal agencies are being forced to stop using Anthropic's technology, and defense contractors have to completely eliminate it from their systems.
And Anthropic is pushing back hard.
They are. In response, Anthropic is suing the Trump administration in federal court, alleging First Amendment retaliation and claiming the government is overreaching. Now, to be explicitly clear for everyone listening, this is a highly politicized clash.
Yes, absolutely.
And we are not here to take a stance on who is right or wrong, or to endorse the government's mandate or Anthropic's refusal. We are purely looking at the factual mechanics of this lawsuit as outlined in the sources.
Right. Our goal is just to understand the tech and legal implications. And this raises a vital question about the enforcement of ethical boundaries in the tech industry.
How so?
Well, for years, major AI labs have published these grand sweeping manifestos about AI safety, declaring strict ethical red lines about what their models can and cannot be used for. But talk is cheap when the stakes are low.
True.
What makes this lawsuit so significant is that it's the first real high-stakes legal test of whether an AI company can actually enforce its own terms of service when faced with immense pressure and the threat of massive financial loss from the United States government.
It's the ultimate stress test.
Exactly. Can the First Amendment protect a company's right to refuse service based on its safety principles when the customer is the Pentagon? It's a defining moment. And it's also worth noting how Anthropic is reacting structurally.
They aren't backing into a corner.
Not at all. Despite this domestic battle, they are aggressively continuing their global expansion. They recently opened a new office in Sydney, making it their fourth location in the Asia-Pacific region.
They're definitely not slowing down. And speaking of the friction between government mandates and technology, there's a massive privacy story that blew up on Hacker News today.
The CNBC investigation.
Yeah. They looked into the new age verification tools being mandated across the internet under various child safety laws. But the investigation reveals a really dark, unintended consequence. These systems are actually collecting and storing biometric data on adults at a massive scale.
Which is terrifying.
It is. And to make matters worse, the tools are reported to be wildly inaccurate, generating huge false positive rates that are effectively locking legitimate adult users out of everyday services.
The irony here is quite stark. You have a legal mandate implemented strictly under the banner of protecting safety.
Mm-hmm.
But in practice, because of how the technology has to be deployed at scale, it is quietly creating a massive, highly inaccurate biometric privacy surveillance network.
It's the exact opposite of what users want.
It perfectly illustrates how difficult it is to regulate digital spaces without creating collateral damage to user privacy.
Let's bring this down from the government level to the trenches of the tech industry, because the friction is happening inside the companies building the tech, too. I was reading this piece about Amazon in the newsletter, and I have to admit, the terminology made me laugh.
The vibe coding mandate.
Yes. Amazon has instituted a strict new internal mandate. Junior and mid-level engineers are now required to get a senior engineer's sign-off before they can deploy any AI-assisted code changes. And the stated reason is that something called vibe coding has caused a series of production outages.
That's such a great term.
What exactly is vibe coding, and why is it breaking Amazon's servers?
Vibe coding is a somewhat tongue-in-cheek term developers use to describe the act of letting an AI coding assistant, like Copilot or Claude, generate massive blocks of code and then just accepting it because it, quote-unquote, looks right.
It has the right vibe.
Exactly. It has the right vibe. But the developer doesn't actually understand the underlying logic or the edge cases. The reaction on Hacker News to this Amazon mandate was incredibly telling.
They weren't mad about it.
Not at all. The consensus among the engineering community wasn't outrage. It was essentially, well, obviously.
Right, because if you don't know how the code works, you can't fix it when it breaks.
Exactly. It's hard proof that no matter how advanced an AI coding assistant gets, it does not replace the need for senior-level human judgment and architectural understanding. AI is fantastic at generating boilerplate, but when you're managing infrastructure at the scale of Amazon Web Services, accepting a hallucinated line of code because it gave off a good vibe is how you take down half the internet.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. It isn't just corporate hierarchies grappling with this. The entire open source community is currently locked in a civil war over how to handle AI-generated contributions.
The split is massive right now.
It really is. You have massive foundational projects taking completely opposite approaches. Debian, which is one of the most important operating systems in the world, spent months agonizing over how to handle AI code, and ultimately, they just punted.
Yeah, they declined to establish a formal policy.
But then you have a project like Redox OS, which went the other way entirely. They instituted a strict, zero-tolerance, no LLM policy, requiring contributors to sign a certificate of origin proving a human wrote the code. Why the extreme split? Why not just accept good code, regardless of who or what wrote it?
Because open source software relies entirely on a verifiable chain of trust. If a developer submits code to a project, the project maintainers need to know where that code came from to ensure it doesn't infringe on copyrights or introduce malicious backdoors.
That makes sense.
If the code was generated by an AI model trained on billions of lines of unlicensed code, that chain of trust is broken. I want you to consider what this means for the future. As an end user, how do you verify trust in the digital age when you can no longer assume that a human being actually wrote, reviewed, and understood the underlying infrastructure of the software you rely on every single day?
It's a massive philosophical divide. And, you know, while developers are fighting over how to write and manage text-based AI models, some of the biggest pioneers in the industry are placing billion-dollar bets that text-based models are already obsolete.
You're talking about Yann LeCun.
Yes, Yann LeCun, a legendary figure in AI, just left Meta and raised $1.03 billion for his new startup, AMI Labs. That is the largest seed round in European history.
At a $3.5 billion evaluation, no less.
Right. And his stated goal is to prove that large language models, LLMs, are a dead end. He wants to build what he calls world models. How does a world model differ from the LLMs we use today?
Current LLMs, no matter how impressive they seem, are fundamentally just incredibly sophisticated autocomplete engines. They predict the next token or word based on statistical probabilities from their training text.
They're just very good at guessing.
Exactly. They don't actually understand physics, gravity, or object permanence. LeCun argues that you cannot achieve true, autonomous, artificial general intelligence just by scaling up text prediction. His world models aim to learn how physical reality actually works by processing massive amounts of video data.
Learning the constraints of the physical world much like a human toddler does.
Precisely.
But the sources today present a massive counterargument to LeCun's thesis, right? There is a new study from MIT highlighted in the newsletter that validates what is known as the scaling hypothesis.
Yes, the MIT researchers analyzed recent breakthroughs and found that the vast majority of AI progress isn't coming from secret sauce algorithms or entirely new paradigms like world models.
So what is driving it?
The progress is coming almost entirely from simply throwing exponentially more raw compute power at the existing architectures. It implies that maybe LLMs aren't a dead end at all, we just need bigger data centers.
And speaking of architectures and compute power, my absolute favorite story from today's sources is a classic underdog tale that perfectly contrasts with LeCun's billion-dollar raise.
The Hugging Face leaderboard story.
Yes. On Hacker News today, there's a post from a developer who just topped the Hugging Face leaderboard, which is basically the global scoreboard for open source AI models. And they didn't do it with a massive data center.
Oh, they didn't.
They did it entirely on two RTX 4090 gaming GPUs in their basement. The post says they simply duplicated seven middle layers in the open source Qwen272B model without even modifying the weights. How is that even possible? How do you duplicate parts of an AI's brain without having to retrain it?
It is an incredibly clever piece of technical hacking. Think of a large language model like an office building, where each floor is a layer that processes information before passing it up to the next floor. The weights are the trained workers on those floors. What this hacker essentially did was slide a few new, identical floors into the middle of the building. The existing workers keep doing their jobs just like before, but suddenly the model has more depth and capacity to route complex logic.
And they didn't have to retrain anything.
Nope, because they didn't change the underlying the weights. They didn't need millions of dollars in compute to retrain it. They just expanded its capacity using consumer hardware.
That is garage science at its absolute finest. And the hardware itself is evolving rapidly to empower people to run these things locally, away from the big tech clouds. The sources highlight two critical hardware advancements today. First, a Y Combinator startup from the winter 2026 batch called Run Anywhere.
Right, they're bringing massive speedups for running local AI inference, specifically on Apple Silicon.
Exactly. But the second one is the one that really caught my eye. Intel just demoed a new chip that performs fully homomorphic encryption, or FHE, directly in silicon. Now, I know FHE has been sort of a holy grail for cryptography. Why is getting it onto a chip such a big deal?
To understand FHE, imagine you need an accountant to do your taxes, but you absolutely refuse to let them see your actual financial numbers.
Sounds difficult.
It is. So you put all your receipts in a lockbox, you blindfold the accountant. Through some mathematical magic, they are able to calculate your tax return inside the lockbox without ever seeing the raw numbers.
Wow.
That is fully homomorphic encryption. It allows a computer to perform calculations on encrypted data without ever decrypting it. Historically, doing this was so computationally heavy that it was impossibly slow.
But Intel put it in the hardware.
Exactly. By baking it directly into the silicon, Intel is speeding it up to practical levels. If this scales, it completely solves the cloud privacy issues we were discussing earlier. You could send your highly personal data to a cloud AI, the AI could process it and give you an answer, all while remaining completely blind to what your data actually is.
That is incredible. It feels like we are simultaneously trying to build impenetrable vaults to protect our human data, while also being utterly obsessed with digitizing as much of ourselves as possible.
It's quite the paradox.
It really is, which perfectly segues into a fascinating piece from today's Quick Hits. A developer named Felix Krauss published a project titled, "I Put My Whole Life Into a Single Database." It is a quantified self project that hit over 400 points on Hacker News today.
What's fascinating here is the psychological drive behind it. It reflects this deep, distinctly modern urge we have to turn our humanity into a machine-readable format. We want to take our habits, our health, our sleep cycles, and our behaviors and turn them into queryable data points that an AI can analyze and optimize.
Exactly. We want to be data, but we want the AI to stay out of our way while it processes that data. Which brings us to the very last quick hit for today. Claude Code just got a tiny but massively appreciated quality of life update.
The /B2 command.
Yeah, they added a B2 command. It allows you to have a sidechain conversation with the AI without interrupting the main task it is currently executing in the background. It's a small tweak, but it shows how developers are constantly refining the friction of interacting with these systems.
It is all about maintaining the illusion of a seamless assistant. You don't want to stop the autonomous agent from doing his job just to ask it a quick question.
So what does this all mean? When we look at this entire stack of sources, from federal courtrooms applying the CFAA to e-commerce, to the open source community tearing itself apart over vibe coding, to a basement hacker topping global leaderboards on gaming GPUs, we are seeing a tech ecosystem that is fracturing under the weight of its own progress.
It really is fracturing.
We have human platforms like Amazon actively building walls to keep AI agents out, while companies like Meta are literally buying up social networks specifically so AIs have a safe haven to talk to each other.
The essential takeaway for you listening right now is that the era of AI merely being a chatbot you occasionally ask for a recipe is over. The autonomous, invisible agents are here, and they are proliferating.
They really are.
Whether you are a developer writing code, a consumer shopping online, or a citizen navigating new biometric privacy laws, the rules governing these digital workers are being written in real time today. And those rules are going to definitively dictate the boundaries of your daily digital experience.
I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over, building purely on the implications of the Moltbook acquisition and the Perplexity court ruling we discussed. If platforms like Amazon successfully lock AI agents out of the traditional internet, and AI-exclusive networks like Moltbook become the standard infrastructure, are we heading toward a completely fractured web?
That's the big question.
Are we going to have one internet slow, heavily advertised, and designed for humans to browse with our eyeballs, and a completely separate, hyper-efficient shadow web where our AI avatars conduct the actual frictionless business of our lives entirely in the dark? Think about that next time you log on. Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive. We will see you next time.